Can you hear me? Okay. I ask that because quite often they tell me they can't hear me. I don't understand it, but you know. Okay. Well, the message I'm bringing you today is very much a message related, first of all, to me. And it's very much a journey that I'm on. And I know it's a journey that all of us need to be on, because God's got a mission and he wants to use us to bring his kingdom, and he can empower us to do that. And I know that's what we need to seek more and more and more. If I was to ask you, especially you budding scientists out there, what is the most powerful force known to man? I'm not going to ask Laurie because I've already had his answer, and I don't want to hear that one again. What would you say? What is the most powerful force known to man? What is it? Love it is. Love is more powerful than anything else. Love is an incredible power. In South Africa, it was love that averted civil war. If you remember the Truth and Reconciliation, based on the principle of love and forgiveness and mercy over judgment, and it literally averted a civil war in that country. It would have been a very bloody civil war with all that had happened in that country. But instead, through incredible love and forgiveness that people showed, that didn't happen in that country. Corrie Ten Boom, the Second World War, ending up in a concentration camp where there was just despair and hopelessness, but she held on to her faith and she could say, "No pit is so deep that the love of God is not deeper still." And she was able to forgive the people who effectively killed her sister and who just brought about such despair and deprivation in so many lives, but she could forgive by the power of love. And of course, it was the power of love that conquered even death. So we've created nuclear power and other very strong powers and can kill, but there's a power that can actually conquer death itself, and that's the power of love. So that is the primary call, to love God, to love our neighbour. And it's a life-changing power. And I've seen something of that life-changing power in the ministry that God's given me. But it's the ministry God's given me, every one of us, God's given a ministry to. But I can tell you stories increasingly of just how God's love meets people and transforms their life and actually brings to life people who are, in effect, dead in many ways. I had the opportunity last week of praying with a young man who came to see us. He'd be lucky if he was 20. He came into the centre and he was shaking like a leaf. Liz and I were there at the time. And I knew we had to see him quickly because he was in a very bad place. So we called him into the room and we met his immediate needs, because he was homeless, he was hungry. But it was a lot deeper than that. He sat down and told me his story. When he was 11 years old, his father had been bashed to death with a stick with nails in it. He told us all the details. A couple of years after that, his mother committed suicide. He has attempted suicide on 5 occasions. And the place that he was staying in, the woman couldn't cope with him anymore, and so he's now homeless as well. But he was able to find a friend who was able to keep him for a while. So we talked about some of the practical things to try to get him into housing, but sensed that there was a much deeper need in this man. And asked him if he had a faith, and he said, oh, yeah, he believed in God. Not religious, but I believe in God. And asked, could we pray for him? And he said, yeah, I'd love you to pray for me. So Liz and I prayed for that man. And the whole time that this conversation had gone on, he was shaking. As soon as we started to pray with him, he stopped shaking. And we just really, I just felt this compassion for this man. And that's what I want to feel more and more and more, because that's God. And as we prayed for this man, we were able to just pray into that area of brokenness in him. We talked to him about a Heavenly Father that would never disappoint him. We talked about him just receiving from God a peace. And I can't even remember what else we prayed. But at the end of it, he looked at us both and he said, I just felt such an incredible peace. And he said, where do you go to church? He wanted to know that too. And he's talking about coming at some stage here. But he said to us, I just want to cry. And Liz said, doesn't matter if you cry, you can cry, it's okay. And but he said, I just feel this peace. And he just kept backing out the door, thanking us as he went, because something had happened in that moment for him. And to me, that was just a small example of that life-giving love. And for that man, it was literally a case of loving him back to life, because all he wants to do is kill himself. And we've given him hope. And that is so important. It was a moment. It was a God-given moment. And for him, it was a life-giving moment. Heidi Baker talks about poverty in the West. And she talks about that is one of the kind of poverties that you find in the West. People who have lost all hope. People who see no reason to live. People who are in just despair, hopelessness, and life just seems futile and pointless. And we have a message to bring, and we have a love to give. But we can't do it on our own. It's got to be something that comes out of our own relationship with God, so that we love from the overflow, is how I'd put it. That it's God's love in us that can overflow into the lives of these people. On Friday, at the Friday meal, which some of the ladies here are involved in, Kat and Liz I see over there, we have built up relationships with some of these broken people. And sometimes it takes a long time to get to the point where you can actually pray with them. And there's one little Italian lady that we've been on quite a journey with, Maria. And Maria's lived for many years with a husband who wouldn't support her financially. And she used to come to us for food, even though she lived in a home with her supposed husband. But they had this broken relationship where there was just no support one for the other. There was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of anger in her life. Eventually, she's got out of that situation and she's now living with a son. But she's a very, very lonely person with a lot of hurts. And on Friday, she was talking about the arthritis, which is making it very hard for her to move around. And we asked if we could pray for her. And she goes, oh, yeah. Came into the kitchen and again we had an opportunity after building that relationship to be able to pray with her. And we prayed for God's healing for that arthritis, but we also prayed for some of the deeper hurts that were there, because we knew the loneliness that was in her. And she did cry and she did receive a real touch from God, and it's a beginning for her. So it's a real privilege to be in a place where God can use you. But again, I felt more of that compassion than I have. It's growing in me, and I know I need it. I know that it's got to be God-given. It's got to be more than me. And I'm on a journey to find more of that. If any of you have read the book by Heidi Baker, Compelled by Love, she really talks about this life-changing experience where she had where the fire of God, she describes it, just came and just, she described it as burning her up. She was stuck to the floor for days. She couldn't walk for days because she had this powerful encounter with God, which just transformed her ministry in Mozambique and just gave her a greater capacity to love than she'd ever had before. And that's really exciting that God can use us in that way. And that's what I want, because we've got such a mission to such a broken world out there. It's love beyond ourselves. It's moving from the overflow. Henry Nguyen says, "The challenge is never simply to try to be more loving, but to seek a deeper inner resource from which our love can flow." It's about seeking God's presence. Mother Teresa said, "My secret is very simple. I pray. Through prayer, I become one in love with Christ. Through prayer, I become one in love with Christ." 1 John 4:16, "Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." We need more of that. I certainly need more of that, and I hunger for more of that. I guess it's, you know, what Heidi Baker says, being poor in spirit, knowing what we need. As Heidi gives us a challenge, our lives must be living incarnations of the love of Christ Jesus if we will ever have an effective ministry. So, like her, I want to be refined, and I know that we all do, because we've got an incredible mission. We have the truth. We have the hope that this world needs. And I know that the more I'm filled with that love, the less selfish I'll be, the less that I'll hide behind my desk when people come in and ask one of the others to go and see them, which can happen at times. You know, it's sometimes I get my priorities all wrong. But I know that when I'm filled with that love, I'm going to seek the opportunities rather than hide from people. And what's even more significant is that I won't be afraid of the cost. I want a love that's so powerfully in me that I won't be afraid of the cost. It talks about, and I won't be afraid to risk myself. It talks about perfect love casts out fear. Well, that's what I need for those times where I think, well, yeah, I'd like to reach this person, but what if it means that I have to actually put myself out at the weekend for them, or they'll keep coming back and I have to spend more time with them. And that's the kind of thing that goes through your head at times when people come in. Oh boy, what's this going to mean? So I want the kind of love that that God can give, the kind of love that Steve talked about, where that young man put his hand on the cancerous foot because God told him to. And he did it because he was filled with such compassion for that person, and then God brought healing. When Jesus laid hands on the leper, I want that kind of leper loving love in me, and I know that God can give that to us all. So it's a call to go deeper into God, that sacrificial love that allows us to abandon all fear, and it's allows us also to risk. Heidi Baker says this, "Yes, God wants you to do signs and wonders, but the love of God manifested through you is what people really need. So you must first see his face. You must become so close to his very heartbeat that you can feel what others feel. I want to live as if I am hidden in his very heart, where his thoughts become my thoughts and his ways become my ways. This is how we will reach the world." It's also the way that we can keep on loving the many, many people that God puts across our path and yet not burn out in the process. Because we're going back to the source and we're coming out of the overflow. We're not trying to do it all in our own strength. And it's also the way that we'll do it and not steal his glory. It'll be all about him in us, not about us trying to score points or look good in anyone else's eyes. So, yes, we're called to love, but it's more than just obedience. It is obedience, but it's more than obedience. It's moving out of the overflow. And we're called to do the little acts of kindness, the everyday things that amount, first of all, to actually seeing the people around us, and then risking ourselves to actually reach out to them, to pray for them, to also do whatever it takes that meets the needs of that person. Noel and I have been challenged in the last couple of weeks because we had two men who are currently in a boarding house at Endeavour Hills, and it's a pretty awful place. This is an old retirement home that's now become a boarding house. It's got 37 rooms, and Irma and Dandenong, which looks after people with mental health issues, have a lot of people in that home. There's also a lot of people that are out of prison that have gone there. It's a fairly negative environment. A lot of the guys, when it comes to payday, that's their day for getting the booze and getting the marijuana, whatever else, and the police are frequently there. It's not a happy scene for a lot of people. At the Friday meals, we have quite a few of the men from the boarding house that come to that meal. And we got to talk to two of those fellows in particular. And one of them was a maths teacher in Fiji. And he was saying to me that he knows that he needs to get out of that place. He knows that he, in order for him to really move away from the influences that are affecting his life and also the temptation to drink, he's got to get out of that place because it's just not doing him any good. And there's a lot of people in that situation, I'd love to be able to help. Harry's laughing because my dream is to have a property with a whole lot of units for single men because there's so many of them in this kind of environment. But nevertheless, I thought, well, okay, I haven't got the millions it'd take to build that, but what about right now? The people that were in our emergency accommodation had just moved out. I've got two men that desperately want to have a chance. And they feel that getting out of that boarding house is the only way they're going to have a chance. Immediately through my mind, all the risks. Okay, they're alcoholic. You know, will they do the right thing? Will this be a disaster? I'm weighing up the risks. And then the other side of me is, well, I've got to give these two guys a go. I've got to give them a chance. And in the end, we sat down on Saturday morning a couple of weeks ago and spoke to these two fellows and talked to them about the boundaries and all that, but nevertheless decided, no, we're going to give these two guys a go. And they've responded really well. One's already got a job, and we're still working on the other one. And also taking them through the Journeys course, and they're really responding to that too. So it's a risk, but it was a risk we felt compelled to take. So it's being compelled by love, I guess, that was giving them a go. And I feel a real love for those guys. They're great guys. And they've responded well. One, I asked him to prune a tree at the Andrews Centre because I'm trying to keep him occupied. And he's pretty well stripped the tree bare. But it was his response. He wanted to give something back. And it's been great to see. So I know that that's part of it. I had this picture of a pearl and sensed that God's calling me, and I know he's calling all of us, to drip love into people's life until they become that pearl. So it's acts of kindness. It's even just listening to them. It's seeing them. It's taking the risks to say, can I pray for you? The risk to actually share something of your own faith and your own journey with them. There's another lady at the centre who I think has been there since we first opened the doors back in 1994. And she was a street kid. There's everything that you have seen, she's seen. She's seen murders. She's been in the drug scene. She talks about how she clothed herself in Myers by going in one outfit and coming out with another. She's done most things. She was fairly cynical about anything religious. But over the years, she's been surprised by many acts of kindness and also has even, out of desperation, come for prayer. She saw a dramatic healing of her little daughter, who's a dwarf, that Jeff and Joe and Steve and Nicola prayed with, and that the main tumour, which was right on the spine, disappeared. The doctors are still wondering about that. In fact, the last x-ray, they tried to find it again. It still wasn't there. But that girl has become a Christian. But it didn't happen overnight. It was many, many years. And many years of surprising her with acts of kindness. I remember Noel bought her son a bike one year for Christmas because she couldn't afford it. Jeff and Joe actually paid for them to go to the show one year just because there was no way they could ever afford something special like that. They also did something else great for them. But there's little acts of kindness that have all gone together to just mess with this person's mind that she can't quite fathom where all this has come from. And she is now a Christian. And she talked to me the other day in the office about how she's never alone now. She knows she's not alone anymore. She knows that God's always there and she can talk to him, and it's just made such a difference in her life. And that, in spite of the opposition from her family, who just don't understand what's happened in her life, but love has transformed her, and that's what our ministry is. Wherever you are, Heidi Baker says, God wants to show you the blind, the sick, the dying, the lame, and the desperate who are all around you, in the grocery store, in the mall, in the post office. And everywhere there are people who are hungry, poor, naked, and blind to the things of God. He wants to release radical acts of kindness through you. He wants to give you spiritual eyes to see them in the spiritual realm. Saying all this, I know it isn't always easy. It's not always easy at the centre. There's been times where we've been lied to. There's been times where when we were counselling one, the other one was stealing a purse from one of the counsellor's rooms. There's times where I know that Liz had to clean up the mess after a drunk guy came in one day and left indescribable mess behind we wouldn't want to tell you about. So it isn't always easy, but it is our call and the constant challenge. I know that many times I've prayed, Lord, give me a pure heart and a right spirit, but now I'm adding, and a heart of compassion and love that is your love that can meet the needs of broken people. I have a dream, and there's also a picture that I received that relates to that. And the picture was of a dam wall, as in a dam wall, and of a chisel. And I'm chipping away at the dam wall. And every choice that I make to love, and every time I love in the power of God, it's like I'm chipping away at that dam wall. And one day that wall's going to break and there's going to be a flood. And I don't think that's just a picture for me. I think it's a picture for this church, that we can chip away at the dam wall by every act of kindness, by every opportunity we take to love in the power of God, so that there will be a flood of people who have been met with the love of God and have been loved into life by the power of God. And that's what I want to see for this church, for this country, for this city of Melbourne. So that is my message for this morning.